her legs were on fire the whole time she was here. And,
no.
That's awesome. Amen. All right, Morales, good to see you. Pray for me.
Amen.
Amen. I've shared this word from this passage a couple of times over the years. Each time I shared the word was because I felt like we were in a season where God was doing something new. I have felt that way for months now, and it's been a stronger sense even more. I think even the story that Amia told about this lady who's been looking for that scent and walks in this building, she said her feet were on fire the whole time she was here, and she smelled the smell of heaven, and which is what incense is. Our incense is the smell of heaven. And so so I've had this strong sense. And when we were in Brazil, we ministered 9 straight days, which usually is unusual because we usually have a day in between. Because most of the time when we minister, it's 4 to 5 hours. It wasn't that way every time here, but it was still most of the time. But the last night was something that wasn't originally planned. We had an opportunity to meet in a church and to meet with all the clergy and bishops and lay leaders of ministry, like Sunday school teachers, all that kind of thing, from 3 different dioceses, from 3 different groupings, and minister to them. And when I ministered to them, I spoke to them a prophetic word that it's a sermon, but a prophetic word. And going home that night, back to about an hour drive for us, back to where we were staying, I had a strong sense that I was supposed to share this word. Where they're at and where you're at are in 2 different places in terms of calling forth, and but I sense really strongly that this is a word for us. I contemplated not doing it, doing something else. But again, this morning, the Lord just sovereignly reinforced the fact that this is the word of the Lord for us. And so, God speaking this, if I live long enough, and I'm here long enough, I'm sure I'll preach from this passage of Scriptures again. So this is a prophetic sermon for our church. And I have no doubt that this is God speaking to us again. So have ears to hear. Listen, my beloved. Behold, he's coming. He's climbing on the mountains. He's leaping on the hills. My beloved Jesus is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he is standing behind the wall of our house. And he's looking through the window and he's peering through the lattice. And my beloved Jesus responded and said to me, "Arise, my love and my beautiful one, and come away with me. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers have already appeared in the land, and the vine has arrived for pruning and singing. The voice of the turtle dove has been heard in the land. The fig tree has ripened its figs. And the vines and the blossoms have given forth their fragrance. Arise, my love and my beautiful one, and come away with me. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your form and let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet, and your form is lovely." When I was in Brazil, we did a conference at the really huge cathedral church that they have 9,000 people. Then we went out into the province, and we were in one diocese in Limoeiro. Is that right? That close? It means lemon tree.
Yeah, no, it's lemon tree.
It's a beautiful town, city. There's a bishop there, Marcos, and we did one night there. And, but it was one of those, like, I stood for 5.5 hours on solid marble. And so when I got back to my room, my feet, my legs were really tired. And so I was just it's distracting. And so I couldn't wait to get in bed. All of a sudden, this stupid song began to rise up inside of me. And I thought, I don't like that group. Never did. Didn't even particularly like this song. But the words were changed and started coming up. And as it did, joy just filled my heart. So I knew it was the Lord. And I just sat singing it over and over and over again in my room. You know, I became less distracted by my legs and feet. And I was just having a big time. And throughout the night, I dreamed singing that song. And now, and all of a large portion of Brazil is now singing this song. Because we ended up going to other places. And then we came back to the cathedral and spoke on Wednesday night. And then I also taught it to all the clergy. It was a real familiar tune if you know this rock group called The Doors. And the song itself is not a very good song. I don't know what all it means, but it's not good. But this is what came up inside of me. I know that it would be untrue. I know that I would be a liar if I were to say to you, Jesus, we can't go much higher. Holy Spirit, light my fire. Holy Spirit, light my fire. Come and set my heart on fire.
Amen.
And we as a group sang that song the rest of the trip, everywhere we went. And we taught all these group congregations this. And it was the Lord just encouraging me about, Chuck, we're going higher. And so we'll sing it again. You'll sing it with me at the end of the service. Most of them don't speak English very good, so Father Yvonne was with me most of the time, and he would sing in Portuguese, but man, they got hold of that song really good. We went back to the ranch that night, and we're sitting around with, we ate dinner most of the time. Like one night, we ate, finished dinner at 1:30 in the morning. We ate dinner most of the time around midnight. And so Archbishop Garcia was up, and he had some music playing in this little area off in the distance, and it was like soft, easy sounding music. Then there comes this song. Na, 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 na. And then had this one man who was a dentist, he and his wife, God just did some amazing things in them. He sort of Facebook messaged me and said, I went to the office the next day and my partner was singing that song. Not the good version, but the Doors version. We saw God do so many things. And so we'll tell stories as the next weeks go by. Ron will have stories to tell here. I'll tell you just two quick stories that were encouraging, blessing. This is kind of the way it went. We prayed for more people last year because of the different settings we were in. But I think we saw more extraordinary things happen this year. Like one night, we had three different people who were blind in one eye who were healed. I had one lady, because I walked around a little bit, and the teams were set, and I gave prophetic words, and we do a little praying. I thought that was good for them. And Yvonne just walked with me, interpreted. This one lady stopped me in the middle of the aisle, because there's all this stuff going on. So she asked me to pray for her, and she had a headache, and she was dizzy. So as I began to talk to her, she was 51 years old. And she had a headache for 33 years and dizzy, nonstop. It ain't so bad, Craig. And so I prayed for her and then asked her, are you better? No, not really. I'm so dizzy. So the Holy Spirit just had me to ask her a question. I said, is there anybody in your life that you have unforgiveness towards? And she said, well, yeah. And she said, her parents. So well, tell me what happened. When did this start? And she said, well, when I went off to college, something happened. She didn't tell me the story. She said, they really hurt me, and I got offended. I said, so how old were you? She said, 18. I said, is that when your headache started? She said, yeah. I said, would you like to forgive them? She said, yes. So she forgave her parents. I prayed for her again, and after 33 years, for the first time in 33 years, she had no headache and no dizziness. When we came back to the large cathedral, a man wanted to share his testimony. Because one of the days that we had been there a few days earlier, he was probably 70, maybe, Ron?
67.
He had a cancer on his nose. I listed some words God had for me to give. I'll do that a lot when I have time before I went. And Now, it'll be details like so in this situation, but one of them was just the word knows. And I had no details. I need to learn more and more to ask the Lord, okay, something about knows was kind of a word. So when I get there, Yvonne says, there's a guy whose nose was healed. He would like to give a testimony. I thought, oh, that's the nose thing. And so what happened is he had a cancer. I don't know. I guess it was a melanoma. I'm not sure. He had had for a little while. And that it never would close up. It would bleed. His wife had to change sheets every day. And there was a point during the deal, I just said, we're praying for cancer. I hate cancer. If you got cancer, we're praying for you. So he went home that night, and he woke up the next day, and the cancer had disappeared. There was no blood on his sheets. And then he said, and then I took a shower. Because he said, I had another lesion in my back, and it was totally gone. And if you saw his nose, you could never know there was ever been anything there ever. Those are a couple of stories. That was kind of the trip it was. Well, he's the same Jesus in Selma, same Jesus in America. He's already prepared the place for us. He's just waiting for us to get prepared for the place.
Amen.
That's where we're headed. Amen?
Amen.
So we'll tell more stories. Again, listen, my beloved, behold, he's coming. And then the Shulamite talks about the voice of a turtle dove. And the thing that the beloved was saying was the Holy Spirit speaking, this words of Jesus is, rise up, my love, and come away with me. You remember, again, this is a response to chapter 1, the way the Song of Solomon begins, is that she catches a vision, the believer catches this vision of the love of Christ, and has some kind of encounter and prays this prayer, take me away with you, and let us run. And then the story begins. The king brought me into his chambers. From that point forward, the Song of Solomon explains his response to that prayer. I said this to you before, I'll say it to you again. He always, always, always answers that prayer. If you mean it. Someone has said, this isn't my original thing, but someone has said, if there's something in the Lord, if there's a place in the Word where you see God's got something for you, and you can't live without it, and you're willing to give up anything to experience it, you'll have it in due time. But if you can live without it, you will. And we've seen the Lord do much here over the years. And I'm very grateful for that. But when we prayed that prayer, Lord, take me away with you and let us run, I just assume, I know in my life and for us at CTK, there were no limits to that. It wasn't a one-time thing. And as I said earlier, Jesus said to us, I go to prepare a place for you in John 14. Again, that's not heaven. That's a spiritual place. The large room that Psalms talks about. This place in Christ where everything that He is, the fullness of Jesus, is ours. And that place is already prepared for you. You're already complete in Him. We've talked about that a lot lately. It's not like you're trying to get something. You got something. It's all yours in Christ. That large room is yours. Everything is yours. The place has been prepared for us. The issue is that we find that He prepares us to enter into those places. Because we're not always prepared to believe from those realities. And I believe that the place that He's prepared for us, we're now prepared to go a little bit higher, a little bit further in and up. Holy Spirit, light my fire. I know that it would be untrue if I were to say to you, Jesus, we can't go much higher. Because He's a much more Savior. There's always much more. And so I just, again, when He says words like this, In chapter 2, Song of Solomon, he says, behold, the winter's past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers have appeared in the land. Winter is a season of preparation. They said, I'm seeing signs of life in the spring. The preparation by the Holy Spirit's been done. He's already prepared this place for us. It's always been there for us. But I believe He's now prepared us for that place. And it's time for us to move, to go with Him. Take us away with You, Lord, further up and further in. It says again, the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in the land. The fig tree has ripened its figs, and the vines and the blossom have gone for, given forth their fragrance. Arise, my love, twice, and come away with me. Whenever in Scripture it talks about figs being ripened, it's about the people of God being invited, being called to, being compelled to move into the next place in Him, to experience the more that's already ours. So the encouraging thing is not that we're trying to get something we don't have. We just want to enter into what He's already prepared for us. One of the things I'm asking the Lord is, God, prepare me to move faster. Let's skip some stages, right? Because it's already there. So do work, quick work of preparation in my heart. Overcome reluctance and anything else. So what He says, this is the simplicity. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me hear Your voice. Let me see Your form. He says, for Your voice is sweet. Your form is lovely. And again, He's talking about the secret place of the steep pathway. Whenever God does a new thing, whenever God prepares us to move into the place He already has for us, this next thing, this advancement, it's always up. It's always higher. And it always involves a greater experience, an ascended sense of presence. You move higher, you're moving experientially more and more into presence. That's the great prize, boys and girls. That's the great gift, is presence. Everything else just comes with presence, but presence, His presence is the great thing. And He says, come away with me to a new place, to a place of ascended presence. But also, the higher you get, the more you see, it's just different. Ascended vision. And when your vision gets ascended, you see more from the place God's called you to live. And the more you see, the more you're able to participate in. The higher the vision, the more heavenly the vision, the more... Jesus only did those things He saw the Father doing. He only said those things He heard the Father saying. And we're called to live the same life. And the higher we go in Him, if we don't limit Him, if we don't stop and say no to Him, the higher that we go in Him, the vision gets bigger. We're able to see more what He's doing so that we can do what He's doing and say what He's saying. It just becomes clearer as you take your place emotionally and spiritually seated in the heavenly places with Him. That may be theologically true about you, but is that the place from which we operate? And so anytime God does a new thing, or you go to a new phase, it's always a calling up into a higher experience of presence and a caller up to have an ascended vision, to see things from that place in Christ so that we can then move from that place. We just see more. And see, power follows that. You don't have to pursue power. Jesus said signs and wonders will follow you. Do you know that? If you follow Him, they'll follow you. You can't follow Him higher and they not follow you. Sin of presence and vision always brings all the other stuff with it because you just see the kingdom more clearly. It's just more full. You know what to join in on more. But here was the thing that He said, to remind you, been around a while. She said, behold, the voice of my beloved peering through our wall, the windows and the lattice in our wall. Now she used the word our wall, which meant this is a place where He built. It's a good place. You have to understand, again, this isn't a rebuke. It's affirmation. Only fruit bearers can bear more fruit. Only fruit bearers, John 15, bear more fruit. Those who don't bear fruit are set aside. And so whenever He calls us to a new place in Him, it's an affirmation that where we've been has been of Him. It has been a good place. But it's time to move from there higher. And I believe that's where we're at. I can hear the voice of my beloved. I hear the sound of the turtle dove saying, it's time for more. It's not time to get more, but it's time for you to get the more that you've already got. Amen. You with me? It's time to learn to move to a new place that we can believe from. The issue is, it's a good place, and our tendency and our humanity is to be comfortable. I like it here. This is good. I've never really gone this far before, and I don't know if I want to go any higher. It's a little scary to go higher. I've done pretty good getting here. And I'm just now learning how to manage this. And now you're saying He's saying more? Yep. Now, if you're already uncomfortable with where we are, my goodness. The Lord gave me this word. I wasn't going to use any notes, but I wrote these things down because I know my mind's not really working really well. And He said this. The Comforter, His greatest enemy, is our comfort. The Comforter's greatest enemy is our comfort.
Amen.
And I've discovered, this is one of the things I said to these guys, these clergy, I said, especially men, if we get older, we just want to slide into heaven, man. I got my ticket, I prayed the little prayer, I've done the Baptist bar mitzvah, I asked Jesus to come into my life at some point. I just want to kind of slide in. So we kind of make it through. No more change. Change is hard. Again, how do you spell the cross? C-H-A-N-G-E. Take up your change every day. Take up your cross and follow me. Because He's always transforming us and changing us. Right? And our comfort and our feeling safe is the greatest danger to the Comforter, because He wants us to not be comfortable in anything other than Him.
Amen.
And let me just say this to you, beloved. There's lots of changes coming. Circumstantially, in this nation, it don't matter who gets elected. Change is coming.
Amen.
Our hope is not in whoever gets elected. America has to experience a church in revival to know transformation. And so God uses the crucible of stuff. It's changing. And if your comfort is in all this stuff, you know, and I have this word too for Morales. I just believe, I don't know what this is about, Morales. There's a shifting coming and happening. And no regrets. It's God. Okay. So is it going to make us a little more uncomfortable? Probably. As long as I have the Comforter, I'm okay, right?
Amen.
And we're prepared for it. He's prepared us. He's saying, Bishop, what are you talking about? I don't know. I don't have a clue. But I have some hints. It's going to be good, though, I know that. In Joel chapter 1. Remember what I said to you about the figs and figs being ripe? Joel, remember, this great book about revival. the people of God's hearts were drifting. And the Lord was awakening them, wanting to awaken their hearts to keep moving, to keep going, to keep advancing, to not lose their passion and their wholeheartedness for them. You do need to understand the letter written to the Ephesians in Revelation 2 is the same people who not many decades earlier had written the book of Ephesians to, this great place of being seated in the heavenlies. You know, about the fullness of God when you have a revelation experience of love of Christ. And yet, just a few decades later, he's saying, you've lost your first love. You're doing all the right stuff, but you've lost your first love. And that's what the enemy's after. It's easy for that to happen. Hebrews talks about the fact that we're either moving forward or you're slowly drifting back. And sometimes the drifting is so slow, you don't realize you've drifted until you're 2 miles downstream from where you were. So Joel, there's a bunch in here that's so cool, but this is verse 7. It says, and my fig tree is splintered, or has become a stump. And again in verse 12, and the fig tree fails. He's saying to them, you've stopped longing for the more. You've stopped crying out for the Holy Spirit to light your fire. You've stopped longing for more experience of my presence, a greater vision of my sense of reality, of how life works. You've stopped longing. You've gotten comfortable. The fig tree's become like a stump. And the figs have failed. And then he says this in verse 10. The field is ruined. The land mourns. The grain is ruined. The new wine dries up. And the fresh oil fails. Verse 11. For the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has failed. The vine dries up. Verse 12, the last part. Indeed, rejoicing dries up. And in verse 13, the last part. For the grain offering, the libation, are withheld from the house of our God. So let me just give you these prophetic things without going too much explanation for time-wise. But grain always speaks of harvest. But it first and foremost speaks of the people of God's hearts being harvested. The wheat and barley harvest. It speaks of affection. He says, the affection, your affection's beginning to wither. Your passion and love for me is beginning to fade. And he says, the new wine, the joy, the new wine the Holy Spirit brings is no longer there. He says, the oil is dried up. Fresh oil, new wine, heart affection. Isn't that true? The Holy Spirit, new oil, brings fresh wine, which cultivates fresh and growing affection. He says, as a matter of fact, the libation, the grain and libation offering is stopped. And the grain and libation offering were their worship offerings. And it involved fresh oil, new wine, and wheat and barley given out. It was their worship offering. One of the things I will say to you, as we move into the more, worship is a part of it. Heart worshipers. I was so encouraged to hear Christine say the angel that she saw over us was the angel called praise. That's a good sign that we're prepared. Now again, worship isn't just about, or even primarily about singing, remember? I beseech you, brethren, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Worship is a way of life, Amen. Of radical surrender. And everything that we do and say and think should be an act, a service of worship. We express it corporately. We explode in it corporately when we come together, or even alone in our praise and worship. That's an outlet, you know, or we would just blow up. But anytime people become more yielded, radically surrendered, it's always expressed in what we call praise and worship. Again, don't be concerned. I'm not promoting chaos at all. That's not who Jesus is. One of the things we did that was really cool, I said, we did this a number of times, where I will know. See, one of the things I struggle with over there is that there are a lot of televangelists, and I love televangelists. But their tendency there, they're on TV a lot, it's real hyper, it's real chaotic, it's real loud, it's real emotionalism. And so the CC over there, where it cares about, a little concerned because they don't want, that scares them. So the tendency is to run the other direction. And so one of the things that we do when we go over there is like, well, I would stand up in front of 1,000 people and say, I believe God said he wants to heal somebody who can't lift their arm over their shoulder. Some guy stood up in the back of the room. He says, me, I can't go like that. I said, well, in Jesus' name, I just call your shoulder forth to total health and healing, yada, yada, yada. And so I said, so lift your hand over your shoulder. He goes, I said, is he healed? He goes, he's healed. So I get all excited. People get pumped. I said, I didn't have to yell. I didn't froth at the mouth. I didn't scream and holler. I didn't manipulate or work up. I never see Jesus doing that anywhere. That didn't have to happen to have power.
Amen.
Now, are there some personality types that God stewards out? Yes, I understand. I don't know they froth at the mouth. You know, they can get... But it's not part of the package. It brings confusion, actually. And we did that all over Brazil. As we saw cancers disappear and all these things, we just showed up and went, boo. In Jesus' name. And the enemy fled. One of the sweet things, the team is so awesome. Bishop Marcos, the guy in Lemon Tree, where I got that song, he wrote on his Facebook message, he said, you know, Scripture speaks about sometimes you can entertain angels. He said, I want to thank Archbishop Jones and his team for surely, I believe, we've entertained angels here. Isn't that awesome? And it was like that everywhere we went. Just amazing move of God. But I believe that you know what it says in Zechariah 4:14? That we're sons and daughters of fresh oil. That's who you are. If you stop longing for fresh oil, then you're not being who God created you to be. You're created with an aching inside of you that says, more, Lord. I want more. One of the things I appreciate about Archbishop Garcia, he's 76 years old, but I put this thing in him, and every time I see him, we always see those, more, I want more. He talks like Dracula. More, Jonas, my brother, more, more. I said, yes, more. And if you stop longing for fresh oil, that's a sure sign that you're drifting backwards. You're not just staying in your comfortable place. I'm going to say this to you. I've been a pastor now for a lot of years. And folks who want to get comfortable, stay comfortable, and don't want to advance, they think they're staying in the place that they were. They aren't. Their place, they're always drifting back. I can look at them and go, man, you are not where you once were. Because you can't stay stagnant. You're either drifting back or you're moving forward. We're sons and daughters of fresh oil. As we have fresh oil, we have fresh joy. We have fresh joy and fresh oil. The barley, the wheat and barley, the harvest of our heart, there's fresh and growing affection for Him. That Song of Solomon passage, remember, he says, the time of singing, it's a time of pruning. It surely is a time of singing. Anytime you enter into the place He's already prepared for us, you begin to experience the more that He has for us. It is a time of singing, but it's also a time of pruning. Those of you who have been around long enough know this is real in the Scripture. They're just, the higher you go, the higher you climb, the more you have to leave behind.
Amen.
It's just too hard to climb. There are just some mindsets. There are just some attitudes. There are some relationships. There are some actions and acts you got to leave behind. The higher you climb, the more you have to leave behind. You got to get lighter if you're going to go higher. And I'll just say this to you, CTK. I believe this is where we're at. I'm so thrilled with where we're at. I'm so glad with what God's done. It always encourages me when we have visitors here. They're like going, man, presence of the Lord is so good here. I'm like going, more, Lord. Let's do more. How high can we go? I mean, your last breath, you're going to be going, oh, man, there's more. It never stops. Amen?
Amen.
You with me?
Amen.
Hope so. Because I don't want to go without you. But I believe that's what God's doing. Listen, my beloved. There's the sound of a turtle dove in our midst, saying, rise up, my love, my beautiful one. Isn't that cool? You're so beautiful to me. I'm so proud of you. But guess what? It's time to move again. Time to move again. And you're going to move higher. Higher. So why don't we sing that little song together the Holy Spirit gave me. I know that it would be untrue. I know that I would be a liar if I were to say to you, Jesus, we can't go much higher. Holy Spirit, light my fire. Holy Spirit, light my fire. Come and set my heart on fire. Again, a little louder. Mark, you can carry this one everywhere you want to go, buddy, because you'll see. Come here, Mark. Come help me sing this. Oh, by the way, Sam, I got a son, Sam, who is a worship leader also. You guys ought to get together and maybe get married. Oh, yeah, and also, by the way, you remember CTK, we have this wedding coming up, and you're all invited. Okay? You're invited. Hear me? November the 11th at 2 o'clock right here. So if you didn't get an invitation, we didn't want everybody here to get it. It saves money, but you're all invited to come. So ready now? Because I got somebody who will sing it with me, right? Let's stand. And if you mean it, he'll answer. This is one of those, take me away with you. I know that it would be untrue. I know that I would be a liar if I were to say to you, Jesus, we can't go much higher. Holy Spirit, light my fire. Holy Spirit, light my fire. Come and set my heart on fire. Hallelujah!
Through my head.
It will. You'll haunt you now. All the way, 24 hours of flying home. Peace, Lord, be always with you.
And also with
share
you.
The sign of God's peace with one another.